Thus, is it, O King, of great service to those desiring to be pure, a remover of all sorrow and lamentation, an antidote to discontent. It puts an end to fear and individuality and imperviousness of mind, to evil and to grief and to pain and to lust and to malice and to dullness and to pride and to heresy and to all wrong disposition. It brings with it honor and advantage and bliss. It fills them with ease and with love and with peace of mind. It is free from blame. It has happiness here as its fruit. It is a mine and treasure of goodness that is beyond measure and beyond count, costly above all things and precious. Just, O King, as men for nourishment seek after food, for health medicine, for assistance a friend, for crossing water a boat, for pleasant odors a perfume, for security a place of refuge, for support the earth, for instruction a teacher, for honors a king, and for whatever they desire, a wishing gem. Just so, O King, do the Adahats seek after the virtues of the keeping of the vows for the attainment of all the advantages of renunciation of the world. And what water is for the growth of seeds, what fire is for burning, what food is for giving strength, what a creeper is for tying things up, what a sword is for cutting, what water is for allaying thirst, what a treasure is for giving confidence, what a boat is for crossing to the further shore, what medicine is for allaying disease, what a carriage is for journeying at ease, what a place of refuge is for appeasing fear, what a king is for protection, what a shield is for warding off the blows of sticks and stakes, of clubs, of arrows, and of darts. What a teacher is for instruction, what a mother is for nourishing, what a mirror is for seeing, what a jewel is for ornament, what a dress is for clothing, what a ladder is for mounting up, what a pair of scales is for comparison, what a charm is for repetition, what a weapon is for warding off scorn, what a lamp is for dissipating darkness, what a breeze is for allaying fever, what knowledge of an art is for the accomplishment of business, what medicinal drugs are for the preservation of life, what a mine is for the production of jewels, what a gem is for ornament, what a command is for preventing transgression, what sovereignty is for dominion. All that, O King, is the character that comes of keeping the vows for the good growth of the seed of renunciation, for the burning out of the stains of evil, for giving the strength of Iti, for tying up one's self in self-control and presence of mind, for the complete cutting off of doubt and mistrust, for allaying the thirst of craving, for giving confidence as to perception of the truth, for crossing to the further shore of the fourfold stream of sensuality, individuality, delusion, and ignorance, for allaying the disease of evil disposition, for attaining to the bliss of Nirvana, for appeasing the fears that arise from birth, old age, decay and death, grief, pain, lamentation, woe and despair, for being protected in the possession of the advantages of renunciation, for warding off discontent and evil thoughts, for instruction in all the good involved in the life of those who have renounced the world, for nourishment therein, for explaining to men quietude and insight, and the path and the fruits thereof, and Nirvana, for bestowing upon men a costly ornament, high in the praise and admiration of the world, for closing the doors of all evil states, for mounting up to the peaks of the mountain heights of renunciation, for distinguishing crooked and cunning and evil intentions in others, for the proper recitation of those qualities which ought to be practiced and those which ought not, for warding off as one's enemies all evil dispositions, for dissipating the darkness of ignorance, for allaying the fever arising from the scorching of the threefold fire, for the accomplishment of the attainment of the condition of peace, so gentle and so subtle, for the protection of the virtues of the life of a recluse, for the production of the precious jewels of the sevenfold wisdom, self-possession, investigation of the truth, energy, joy, calm contemplation, and serenity, for the adornment of the recluses, for the prevention of any transgression against that blameless, abstruse, delicate bliss that comes of peace, for dominion over all the qualities that recluses and arahats affect. Thus, O King, is it that keeping the vows is one and the same thing as attaining to all these qualities, and the advantage thereof, O King, cannot be weighed, neither measured. It has no equal, no rival, no superior. Great is it and glorious, extensive and abundant, deep and broad, and large and wide, full of weight and worth and might. And whosoever, O King, having evil cravings in his heart, being hypocritical, greedy, a slave to his stomach, seeking after material gain or worldly fame and glory, unfit for the outward signs of arahatship, not having reached the attainments, whose conduct is inconsistent with membership in the order, unworthy of it, inappropriate to it, whosoever being such shall take upon himself the vows, he shall incur a twofold punishment, suffering the loss of the good that may be in him. For in this world he shall receive disgrace and scorn and blame and ridicule and suspension and excommunication and expulsion, and he shall be outcast, rejected, dismissed, and in his next life he shall suffer torment in the great Aviki purgatory that is 100 leagues in depth and covered as with a garland with hot and scorching, fierce and fiery blazing flames. Therein shall he rise and fall for myriads of years upwards and downwards, and across a foam bubble, as it were, cast up and thrown from side to side in a boiling sea. And when released from thence, then as a mighty preta, ghost, in the outward form of a monk, but with body and limbs lean and rugged and dark, with head swollen, bloated and full of holes, hungry and thirsty, old and dreadful, in color and form, his ears all torn, and his eyes ever winking, his limbs a mass of mortifying sores, his whole body the prey of maggots, his stomach all scorching and hot like a fiery furnace, blazing in the breeze, yet with a mouth no larger than a needle, so that his thirst can never cease, with no place of refuge to fly to, no protector to help him, groaning and weeping and crying out for mercy, shall he wander wailing over the earth. Just, O King, as whosoever, being unfit for royalty, without having properly attained to it, being inappropriate to it, unworthy to it, unsuitable for it, a low-born man and base in lineage, should receive the consecration of a king. He would suffer mutilation, having his hands or his feet, or his hands and feet cut off, or his ears or his nose, or his ears and nose cut off, or he would be tortured, being subjugated to the gruel pot, or to the chank crown, or to the Rahu's mouth, or to the fire garden, or to the hand torch, or to the snake strips, or to the black dress, or to the spotted antelope, or to the flesh hooks, or to the pennies, or to the brin slits, or to the bar turn, or to the straw seat, or he would be anointed with boiling oil, or be eaten by dogs, or be impaled alive, or be beheaded, or be subjugated to punishments of various kinds. And why? Because he being unfit for it, without having properly attained to it, being inappropriate to it, unworthy of it, unsuitable for it, a low-born man and base in lineage, he had placed himself in the seat of sovereignty and thus transgressed beyond his right limits. Thus so, O King, whosoever having evil cravings in his heart, being hypocritical, greedy, a slave to his stomach, seeking after material gain or worldly fame and glory, unfit for the outward signs of arahatship, not having reached the attainments, whose conduct is inconsistent with membership in the order, unworthy of it, inappropriate to it, whosoever being such shall take upon himself the vows, he shall incur a twofold punishment, suffering the loss of the good that may be in him. For in this world he shall receive disgrace and scorn and blame and ridicule and suspension and excommunication and expulsion, and he shall be outcast, rejected, dismissed, and in his next life he shall suffer torment in the great Aviki Purgatory that is 100 leagues in depth and covered as with a garland, with hot and scorching, fierce and fiery blazing flames. Therein shall he rise and fall for myriads of years, upwards and downwards, and across a foam bubble, as it were, cast up and thrown from side to side in a boiling sea. And when released from thence, then as a mighty preta, ghost, in the outward form of a monk, but with body and limbs lean and rugged and dark, with head swollen, bloated and full of holes, hungry and thirsty, odd and dreadful in color and form. His cars all torn, and his eyes ever winking, his limbs a mass of mortifying sores, his whole body the prey of maggots, his stomach all scorching and hot, like a fiery furnace blazing in the breeze, yet with a mouth no larger than a needle, so that his thirst can never cease, with no place of refuge to fly to, no protector to help him, groaning and weeping and crying out of mercy, shall he wander wailing over the earth? But whosoever, O King, is fit, who has reached the attainments, whose conduct is consistent with membership in the order, who is worthy of it, appropriate to it, who desires little and is content, given to seclusion, not fond of society, alert in zeal, resolute of heart, without guile, without deceit, not a slave to his stomach, seeking neither material gain nor worldly fame or glory, full of faith, who has entered the order from belief in the doctrine and not from worldly motives, and is full of desire for release from old age and death, whosoever being such shall take upon himself the vows with the idea of upholding the faith, he is deserving of twofold honor, for he is near and dear to, loved and longed for by both gods and men, desired as rare jasmine flowers to the man bathed and anointed. As sweet food to the hungry, as cool, clear, fragrant water to the thirsty, as a healing drug to a poisoned man, as a costly chariot drawn by high-bred steeds to the hurrying traveler, as a wishing gem to the greedy for gain, as the pure white sunshade of sovereignty to one ambitious for a throne, as the blessed attainment of the fruits of Arahatship to the seeker after holiness. It is he who attains to the fullest mastery over the four earnest meditations, the fourfold great struggle, the four roads to saintship, the five organs of the moral sense, the five moral powers, and seven forms of wisdom, and the noble eightfold path. Quietude and insight reign in his heart. Attainment through study becomes easy to him, and the four fruits of the life of a recluse, the four kinds of discrimination, the threefold knowledge, the sixfold higher wisdom. In a word, the whole religion of the recluses becomes his very own. An anointed king is he, and over him is born the pure white sunshade of emancipation. Just, O King, as all the citizens and countryfolk in the land, the soldiers, and the peons, royal messengers, wait in service upon a Kshatriya king born to the people, and on both sides of lineage high. When he has been consecrated with the inauguration ceremonies of the Kshatriyas, the 38 divisions of the royal retinue, and the dancing men, and acrobats, and the soothsayers, and the heralds, and samanas, and the brahmins, and the followers of every sect, frequent his court, and he becomes the lord of every aspect, and treasure mine, and town, and custom house, giving instructions as to the fate of every foreigner and criminal. Just so, O King, whosoever is it fit who has reached the attainments, whose conduct is consistent with membership in the order, who is worthy of it, appropriate to it, who desires little and is content, given to seclusion, not fond of society, alert in zeal, resolute of heart, without guile, without deceit, not a slave to his stomach, seeking neither material gain nor worldly fame or glory, full of faith, who has entered the order from belief in the doctrine, and not from worldly motives, and is full of desire for release from old age and death. Whosoever being such shall take upon himself the vows with the idea of upholding the faith, he is deserving of twofold honor, for he is near and dear to, loved and longed for by both gods and men, dear as rare jasmine flowers to a man bathed and anointed, as sweet food to the hungry, as cool, clear, fragrant water to the thirsty, as a healing drug to a poisoned man, as a costly chariot drawn by high-bred steeds to the hurrying traveler, as a wishing gem to the greedy for gain, as the pure white sunshade of sovereignty to one ambitious for a throne, as the blessed attainment of the fruits of Arahatship to the seeker after holiness. It is he who attains to the fullest mastery over the four earnest meditations, the fourfold great struggle, the four roads to saintship, the five organs of the moral sense, the five moral powers, the seven forms of wisdom, and the noble eightfold path. Quietude and insight reign in his heart. Attainment through study becomes easy to him, and the four fruits of the life of a recluse, the four kinds of discrimination, the threefold knowledge, the sixfold higher wisdom. In a word, the whole religion of the recluses becomes his very own. An anointed king is he, and over him is born the pure white sunshade of emancipation. Such, O King, are the 13 vows purified by which a man shall bathe in the mighty waters of Nirvana, and there indulge himself as one sporting in the waves with the manifold delights of religion. He shall addict himself to the 8 modes of transcendental ecstasy. He shall acquire the powers of Iti, distant sounds, human and divine, shall greet his ear. He shall divine the thoughts of others. He shall be able to call to mind his own previous birth, and to watch the rise and fall from birth to birth of others, and he shall perceive the real nature and the origin of. He shall perceive the means of escape from sorrow and from lust, individuality, delusion, and ignorance, the stains of life. And what are these 13? Wearing raiment made up of pieces taken. Dost keep wearing 3 robes, and 3 robes only, living on food received by begging, begging straight on from house to house, eating only once a day, at one sitting, eating from one vessel, only refusing food in excess of the regulations, dwelling in the woods, dwelling at the root of a tree, dwelling in the open air, dwelling in or near a cemetery, not altering the mat or bed when it has once been spread out to sleep on, and sleeping in a sitting posture. It is he, O King, who in former birth has undertaken and practiced, followed and carried out, observed, framed his conduct according to, and fulfilled these 13 vows, who acquires all the results of the life of a recluse, and all its ecstasy of peace and bliss becomes his very own. Just, O King, as a ship owner who has become wealthy by constantly levying freight in some seaport town, will be able to traverse the high seas and go to Vanga or Takola or China or Sabira or Surat or Alexandria or the Coromandel coast or further India or any other place where ships do congregate. Just so, O King, it is he who in former birth has undertaken and practiced, followed and carried out, observed, framed his conduct according to, and fulfilled these 13 vows, who acquires all the results of the life of a recluse, and all its ecstasy of peace and bliss becomes his very own. And just, O King, as a husbandman will first remove the defects in the soil, weeds and thorns and stones, arid then by plowing and sowing, and irrigating and fencing and watching and reaping and grinding, will become the owner of much flour. And so the Lord of whosoever are poor and needy, reduced to beggary and misery. Just so, O King, it is he who in former birth has undertaken and practiced, followed and carried out, observed, framed his conduct according to, and fulfilled these 13 vows, who acquires all the results of the life of a recluse, and all its ecstasy of peace and bliss becomes his very own. And again, O King, just as an anointed monarch is master over the treatment of outlaws, is an independent ruler and lord, and does whatsoever he desires, and all the broad earth is subject to him, just so, O King, is he who has undertaken, practiced, and fulfilled in former birth these vows, master, ruler, and lord in the religion of the conquerors, and all the virtues of the Samanas are his. And was not Upasena the elder, he of the sons of the Vedantas, from his having thoroughly practiced all the purifying merits of the vows, able to neglect the agreement arrived at by the members of the order resident at Savatthi, and to visit with his attendant brethren the subduer of men, then retired into solitude. And when he had bowed down before him to take his scat respectfully aside, and when the Blessed One saw how well trained his retinue was, then delighted and glad and exalted in heart, he greeted them with courteous words and said in his unbroken, beautiful voice, "Most pleasant, Upasena, is the deportment of these brethren waiting upon you. How have you managed thus to train your followers?" And he, when so questioned by the omniscient Buddha, the God over all gods, spake thus to the Blessed One as to the real reason for the goodness of their nature: "Whosoever, Lord, may come to me to ask for admission to the order or to become my disciple, to him do I say, 'I, sir, am a frequenter of the woods, who gain my food by begging, and wear but this robe pieced together from cast-off rags. If you will be the same, I can admit you to the order and make you my disciple.' Then, if he agree thereto with joy and abase himself, I thereupon admit him to the order and to the company of my pupils. But if not, then neither do I admit him to the one nor to the other. Thus is it, Lord, that I train them, and thus is it, O King, that he who has taken upon himself the vows becomes master, ruler, and lord in the religion of the conqueror, and all its ecstasy of peace and bliss becomes his very own." Just, O King, as a lotus flower of glorious, pure, and high descent and origin is glossy, soft, desirable, sweet-smelling, longed for, loved, and praised, untarnished by the water or the mud, graced with tiny petals and filaments and prisocarps, the resort of many bees, a child of the clear cold stream. Just so is that disciple of the noble ones who in former birth has undertaken and practiced, followed and carried out, observed and framed his conduct according to and fulfilled these 13 vows, endowed with the 30 graces. And what are the 30? His heart is full of affectionate, soft, and tender love. Evil is killed, destroyed, cast out from within him. Pride and self-righteousness are put an end to and cast down, stable and strong and established and undeviating is his faith. He enters into the enjoyment of the heart's refreshment, the highly praised and desirable peace and bliss of the ecstasies of contemplation. Fully felt, he exhales the most excellent and unequaled sweet savor of righteousness of life. Near is he, and dear to gods and men alike, exalted by the best of beings, the Arahat noble ones themselves. Gods and men delight to honor him. The enlightened, wise, and learned approve, esteem, appreciate, and praise him. Untarnished is he by the love either of this world or the next. He sees the danger in the smallest, tiniest offense. Rich is he in the best of wealth, the wealth that is the fruit of the path, the wealth of those who are seeking the highest of the attainments. He is partaker of the best of the four requisites of a recluse, that may be obtained by asking. He lives without a home, addicted to that best austerity that is dependent on the meditation of the Jnanas. He has unraveled the whole net of evil. He has broken and burst through, doubled up and utterly destroyed both the possibility of rebirth in any of the five future states and the five obstacles to the higher life in this one: lust, malice, sloth, pride, and doubt. Unalterable in character, excellent in conduct, transgressing none of the rules as to the four requisites of a recluse. He is set free from rebirth. He has passed beyond all perplexity. His mind is set upon complete emancipation. He has seen the truth, the sure and steadfast place of refuge from all fear has he gained. The seven evil inclinations to lust and malice and heresy and doubt and pride and desire for future life and ignorance are rooted out in him. He has reached the end of the great evils, lust, individuality, delusion, and ignorance. He abounds in the peace and the bliss of the ecstasies of contemplation. He is endowed with all the virtues a recluse should have. These, O King, are the 30 graces he is adorned withal. And was not Sariputta the Elder, O King, the best man in the whole 10,000 world systems, the teacher of the world himself alone accepted, and he who through endless ages had heaped up merit and had been reborn in a Brahmin family, relinquished all the delights of the pleasures of sense, and gave up boundless wealth to enter the order according to the teaching of the conqueror, and having restrained his action, words, and thoughts by these 13 vows, became in this life of such exalted virtue that he was the one who, after the master, set rolling on the royal chariot wheel of the kingdom of righteousness in the religion of Gotama, the Blessed One. So that this was said, O King, by the Blessed One, the God over all gods, in that most excellent collection, the Anguttara Nikaya. I know, O brethren, of no other man who in succession to me sits rolling on the glorious chariot wheel of the kingdom of righteousness so well as Sariputta. Sariputta, O brethren, sits rolling that wheel the best of all. Most excellent Nagasena, the whole ninefold words of the Buddha, the most exalted conduct, the highest and best of the attainments to be gained in the world, all these are wrapped up together in the virtues that result from the keeping of the vows. Here ends the ninth chapter. Here ends the solving of puzzles.